You are the lid to your home. You know, how many want your boys to be spiritual? Okay, then you set the lid. You know, say amen. You know what I mean? Be. You know what? Be involved. This is Christianity is a participating reality. God wants us to be involved in it. And you won't be involved. You know what? Your tongue, I'm just telling you, this is the Bible. Your tongue, your whole body follows your tongue. And listen, this is so critical. And don't get used to hearing the man of God speak and just doing whatever you want to do as he directs and gives certain, you know what, simple instructions. That's not about me trying to be controlling. It's about me recognizing the power and influence and authority that you have in your home. And you get used to just, you know what, a lifestyle or a personality. Well, I don't, you know, I just, that's who I am. I never, Pastor, I mean, you always say that, and I never say amen to that. I know. That's why I'm talking to somebody today. How many came to change tonight? See, listen, I'm just saying, if we come in and with our attitude say, no, I don't want to change, then why don't we just start a bowling league? Amen? Right? How many came to change today? How many came to change tonight? Pastor, how come you're so, like, forward tonight? You know what I mean? You know? You're just blessed tonight. All right. So, Nehemiah recognizes that he needs to be proactive and involved in building the kingdom of God on this earth. And we need to be involved in building the kingdom of God. We can't just sit there and be, you know what, well, I hope, you know what, that's why Tamara got so mad that one time when she was on the floor. You've heard this story. She's on the floor laying tile, and she looks up, and we were having a vacation Bible school, and there were a couple of guys, and they're just drinking punch and eating cookies, you know what I mean? And that just made her mad. And rightfully so. Rightfully so. God wants us to be involved in building his kingdom. And so Nehemiah was involved. But you get involved and you have opportunity. So what I want to talk to you today about is three strategies the enemy will use to get you off the wall. What's the wall representing of? The wall is representing what you're called to do. And what Satan wants to do, and he's got strategic ways, I'm going to teach it to you tonight, of getting you off that wall, off assignment. The wall is representing what you're supposed to do. This South Sanctuary was an assignment by God of what we were supposed to do. And we had opportunities to many opportunities from the first vision, you know what, to the final to the final completion of this project, which probably lasted about 4 years, we had many opportunities to get off the wall, get off assignment. So I want to talk to you about that. First of all, I want to say this, though. Hebrews chapter 12. Guys in the back, if you can find this quickly. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says this. Therefore, we also, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which easily ensnares us. There's things that will ensnare you and get you off track, and you've got to lay those things aside. Watch this. And run the race with endurance. Here's what with endurance means. It means it's not going to be, you know what, 3 days and you're done. If you're going to accomplish what God's got to call you to accomplish, you've got to stick to it with endurance. But here's what I want you to catch. The race that is set before you. What are you to do? You're to complete and finish the race that is set before you. In other words, God is saying, hey, it's not what you want to do, it's what he wants you to do. It's the race, not your race. The Bible says in the end days, men will become lovers of themselves. One of the things that is hurting the church more than anything else is the self-centeredness of people that go to church to not get involved and do things in the church. And the Bible says, well, you've got to run the race that is set before you. So what keeps us distracted from that? Three things very quickly. Number one, your enemy will try to distract you, try to get you distracted. Try to get you off course. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 2 says this, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. They're saying, hey, come, let's have a meeting. Now, let me tell you what. When anybody tells you to have a meeting in a town called Ono, how many know that's a bad plan already? Right? Right? Don't go to Ono. Next verse. So I sent a messenger to them saying, I am doing a great work, so I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? My first point is understand Satan will try to get you stop working on the wall by trying to get you distracted in something else. Do you understand? In other words, you'd probably be quite aware if Satan tried to tempt you and just saying, just stay at home and just eat Doritos and watch I Love Lucy, you'd probably recognize, I ain't doing that. But what I'm saying is the enemy to great is many times good. See, the enemy to great is sometimes good. You have to be aware. You have to be cognizant of what are you really supposed to be doing? You know, I've got a great Bible program. It's called Logos, and it's a great program, but it's so intense, and there's so many pieces to it, and there's so much you can do in it that it's easy for me to start to study what I'm going to study, and it's easy for me to get distracted and get on this and get on that and get on this and get on this. And many times, one of the things that I do when I'm studying is I write the sermon title at the front on the page real big, and because I need to not be distracted. I need to understand what is the message that God has called me to speak to you. Does this make sense? We can get distracted in so many ways. We can get distracted. It's so easy. We get distracted so many ways. John chapter 16. Look at this verse. John chapter 16 and verse 13. John chapter 16 and verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you, this is the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth, for he will speak not on his own authority. Now stop here. If the Holy Spirit won't even speak on his own authority, why in the world do we think we can speak? And, well, I'm just going to do, remember James? You know, let's do this. Let's go into town and let's do this and let's do. Listen, there's a lot of good ideas, but you don't need a good idea. You need a God idea. Amen. I'm telling you, there's so much distraction. There's so much distraction, so many ways, you know what I mean, in the body of Christ. Well, you know what? We're going to sign up our kids for Little League. We're going to sign our kids to football. We're going to sign up our kids to, you know, be a cheerleader and all this stuff. And, oh, I'm going to start a bowling league. I'm going to, you know what? I need some recreation. I'm going to start bowling. All this stuff. Bowling's evil? I'm not saying bowling's evil. I'm saying, you know what, that I'm pointing out the Holy Spirit will very cognizant to speak not of his own authority. Run the race that was set before you. Amen. But whatever he hears from God, from the Father, he will speak and he will tell you what? He'll tell you things to come. Pastor, I don't understand why you're bringing up this point. Here, because you need to hear from the Holy Spirit what you should be doing. Instead, James, instead, you ought to say it the Holy Spirit. So many people are basing stuff. You know where most people run their lives? You know, most people run their lives. They run their lives, and it's purely financial. It's purely financial. They have drunk the Kool-Aid that says, you know what, wealth will make you happy. And so, you know what, if they can get a job making $2 an hour, they'll quit their job. They're not praying. They're not asking. They're not, you know what, asking God, who knows the beginning from the end, who will tell you, but you have not because you ask not. You're not asking God. God wants you to say, God, what? There's an opportunity over here, and it seems like a good opportunity. But what do I know? I don't know anything. I need help. So, Holy Spirit, tell me. But whoever hears, you know what? But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Can I tell you what? But you've got to be on his frequency to hear what he says. You know what? I don't know if the Dodgers are playing tonight. But if they are, yeah, I got my shirt on. If the Dodgers are playing tonight, how many know there's, you know what? If we had the right equipment, we could catch that frequency. How many know, you know what, the Dodger waves are coming right through this, they're right here. You know what? You know, K-Earth 101, we could tap into that. All kinds of stuff we could tap into. But you got to get on that frequency. We're not at that frequency, so we don't hear any of it. And many people, they just don't get on the frequency. So it's not that the Holy Spirit's not speaking, but they haven't given. Let me tell you the frequency of God. The frequency of God is to say, you know what, to be still and know that I'm God. There's got to be a stillness that you have a opportunity to hear what God has to say. God loves when people just sit down and with all the busyness of their life say, I'm going to do nothing but listen to you. And God goes, oh, you tapped into my frequency. Amen. That's a frequency of love. That's a frequency of exalting God above everything else. Amen. I learned something. So we've got to tap into that frequency. Now, I set you up with a question. This is a really, really great verse. And you know this verse, okay? Just listen, guys, you don't have to go there yet. First, listen to this. Um, For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake will save it. For what will it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose its soul? How many know that scripture? Raise your hand real high. I'm not saying you memorize it, but how many are familiar with that scripture? Raise your hand. Okay, now listen to me. Here's my question. Do you know in what context God said it? In other words, do you know what happened right before that? And I don't say this to, I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't say that you would be embarrassed. I say that to set you up. Because when you see what context he said it in, it will explode that verse. You know what he said it in? He said it in the, you know what he said right before this? We'll look at it in a minute, but I'll tell you. It was when, when Peter says, Peter takes Jesus aside. Jesus is talking about going to the cross. Jesus is talking about going to the cross, and he starts to explain to them, hey, guys, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die, boom, boom, boom. And Peter, here's what, but we'll look at it in a minute. Peter gets Jesus, this is what the Bible says, pulls him aside. Imagine this. Hey, Jesus, I got something to say to you. This is what the Bible says. Pulls Jesus aside, and then here's what the Bible says. Peter begins to rebuke Jesus. Then Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You ever think of that? Man, he's in his face, isn't he? Why is he so in his face? Here's why. Because Jesus understands, I can't let anybody get me off purpose. Watch how powerful it is now. Let's go back up to verse 31. This is Mark, guys in the back. This is Mark chapter 8, verse 31. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. And he strictly warned them that, 31, I'm sorry. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man, that was Jesus, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, raise again. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him, that's Jesus, aside and began to, what? Rebuke him. But when he had turned around, here's this is so good. But when he turned around and looked at the disciples, the Bible doesn't say, so I'm speculating, but I'm telling you I'm speculating. Why did he turn around and look at the disciples? I believe that he turned around and looked at the disciples because he not only wants to rebuke Peter, but he wants to teach all the disciples, hey guys, what he did was not a good thing. So he's going to rebuke Peter, but he's first going to look at them and go, hey guys, sometimes I'm about to say something important, and you hear me say this, I'll say, hey, all eyes up here. Why? Because I'm about to say something real important. He's about to rebuke Peter. He knows what he's going to do, and he wants all the disciples to catch what he's doing. So he first, that's what I believe is happening. He first looks at the disciples, and he rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan. He calls Peter, saying, why did he do that? Here's why. Because he is... he's got the spirit of the Antichrist. There's no more important thing that he do than go to the cross. And Peter's rebuking him, telling him, no, you don't have to die. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. Guys, it's so important that we be mindful of the things of God, not the things of man. And it's so easy in our lives to get caught up with things that are not important. So Nehemiah says, look, guys, you want to meet with me? Watch this. Watch this attitude. No, I'm doing something great. And I'm not going to waste my time talking to you guys while, you know what, and because while I'm talking to you, I'm leaving what I'm doing that's great. We get distracted by so many things. And as we get distracted, and what's really important, we leave aside You know what? When we get distracted on what's not important, we leave aside what, we stop what is really important. And Nehemiah is a great example to say, I'm not going to do that. I'm staying on purpose. I'm staying on purpose. Are you catching this? You know what? I'm staying on purpose. Number one, we've got to not be distracted. We've got to be cognizant. We've got to be aware. We've got to be led by the Spirit to recognize all this other stuff is not important. There are all kinds of other stuff going on. You can get caught up with so many other things. And as you're doing these other things, you're leaving the most important thing behind. You're led by the flesh, not by the Spirit. And here's what the Bible says. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. There's going to be a consequence. You're not going to be able to do what God wants you to do because you're too busy getting distracted. So many people. You know what? Who used to be in church, used to be serving, used to be doing something. What happened? They got distracted. And all of a sudden, it's just, I'll go if I can. I'll make it if I can. And are you kidding me? What happened? They got distracted. And they thought, listen, here's what they thought. See, false doctrine. Listen to me. We talked about this. We showed you this scripture recently. If you're not willing to, you know what, to forsake your mom and your dad and your brother and your son and your daughter. Now, why do you think God uses those? Because he can use any example he wants. Well, you know why. There's no tighter relationship than you're going to have than your parents or your kids. So he's taking the very closest relationship and he's saying, listen, you better make me important, more important than them. Is that not right? You better make me more important than them. You better make me important. Because let me tell you what, if you're not doing that, let me tell you what, you're not worthy of me. See, we're so used to false doctrine. We're so used to this, you know what, God loves me. He'll just take whatever I give him. That is not biblical. You know, just because you throw something in the plate, I'm serious, doesn't mean God receives it. You know what? You better be doing what God tells you to do. Number one, you know what? There are people who in the Old Testament, you know what? They're given, here's a sheep, you know what I mean? Can't see, you know, it's walking around like this, you know what I mean? You know, well, I gave you a sheep, you know what I mean, right? Hey, just because you throw something in the plate, is that what God told you to give? Is that the first fruits that you're giving? Or is that after everything else is taken care of? You know what? After everything else is taken care of, oh, that's making me mad. You're saying that. I'm not trying to make you mad. I'm trying to change your life. Amen? Because let me tell you what, just because you throw something in the plate, that doesn't mean God receives it. That's right. No, give the first fruits. That's what the Bible says. That, you know what that means? That means that you come to God with the tithe first, you know what, before you pay all your bills. Well, Pastor, if you do that, what are you going to, you're not going to have enough to. You know what? As you believe, so be it unto you. I'm just saying. Guys, can I tell you what? God's not messing around. We act like he doesn't know what's going on. Let me tell you what. There is got to be where the rubber meets the road. Listen, Christianity is tough. It is. It takes determination. That's what the Bible says. You know what? Be sober-minded. You know, sober up. Recognize this ain't a, you know what, this ain't a, listen, Christ gave everything for you. He expects everything from you. We're just saying, oh, you know what, God, I'll give whatever I feel like it, and God will love, he just loves me, he just take whatever. Mm-mm. Nuh-uh. Not what the Bible teaches. You need to be obedient to what God has asked you to do. You got to be obedient to what God has asked you to do. You know what? So easy to be distracted. So easy to be distracted. But we're going to be purposeful. God has called us to be purposeful. And you don't need to, and you don't need to be fearful. Well, I'm going to get to that in a minute. You know, God's commandments are not burdensome. Stop thinking that God is against you. He's for you. Change our hearts, God. May we believe you. That as we're obedient and willing, we'll eat the fat of the land. Amen. Then he says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's sake will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? You've figured out how to, get all this stuff, but you missed the real purpose of what God had called you to do. You know what? And that's not, you're gonna get to the end of your life, and God's gonna say, No. You had your plan. There's God's plan or your plan. And you have to recognize, that's not God's plan. But can I tell you what? You can be sensitive to God, be prayed up. You start to get in tune with God, and pretty soon you want what God wants. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So understand, number one, Satan will try to distract you. Number two, the enemy will try to discredit you. Everybody say discredit you. Go back to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 6, of course. Start with verse 5. Look at this. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before, the fifth time, had done this over and over again, with an open letter in his hand. Hey, look what I got. It is reported among the nations that Geshem says that you and the Jews plan to rebel. You know what? It's been reported. Well, who reported it? Who said that? Well, I don't know. I got this open letter. Somebody said it. Right? Exactly. That you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to all these rumors, you are building the wall that you might be their king. Nehemiah wasn't planning on being their king. Yeah, but I got a letter. Somebody wrote it. We think just because we hear something. We think just because somebody tells us something. Well, I heard, I saw, I... Don't be distracted. Don't allow people to get you off course. Amen. And you have also appointed prophets to claim certain, concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, this is a king of Judah. See, I got a letter. You're going to make yourself king. We know it. Now, these matters will be reported to the king. I'm going to report you to the king. These matters, see, look. These matters will be reported to the king. So come, therefore, and let us consult together. Get off the wall. We got proof. You better talk to us. What did Nehemiah do? Talk to your mama. I'm staying here. That's what he's like. I don't care about your silly letter. And we get intimidated. I love what John Maxwell taught me years and years ago. He says somebody knocks on your office. Yes, come in. You know what? know what, Pastor Drew, there's all these people in the church. They're all upset. They're all upset. You know what he said? Here's what he said. He said, here's what I'm telling you. Here's who's upset. That person and you know what? If it's a guy and his wife and their dog. All these people are upset. He said, you know what? I've seen it so many times. I got a letter. I got proof. I got all this stuff. Don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. So come therefore and consult with us. Look, go down to verse 10. Indeed, they will come to kill you. Let me tell you what, this is serious. This is serious. Right? Look at verse 12. Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all. You see that? See, you've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobish and Sambalat had hired him. This was nothing. But you got to perceive it by the Holy Spirit. Then look at, look at verse 13. For this reason, he was hired. Somebody hired him. That I should be afraid. See, it's all trying to intimidate you. Get you off focus. And act that way and sin so that they might have cause an evil report. Watch this. And they might, reproach me. You know what reproach is? That reproach me, it's this discrediting to you. And people will come up with all kinds of proofs to discredit you. And let me just tell you, people come up with all kinds of things to discredit Tamara and I. Wow. You know what, ultimately? Listen to me. Ultimately, I don't need to vindicate myself. I'm not the judge. You know what? I'll let God vindicate me. Amen. But I'm telling you, just because somebody because God wants to set you up. Just because somebody comes whispering in your ear, don't mean you need to listen to them. Amen. Amen. And there's things, and I've told you this story before, but it's one of my favorite stories because it illustrates it so clearly. We were at Marie Callender's. You know what? We had it was the end of the year. We had taken a bunch of the interns and some of the leaders. we used to do this every year. We haven't done it in a while just because of the numbers. But we used to be just a more smaller church, more intimate, and so we'd take strategic leaders and just take them out to dinner at the end of the year, thank them. And so we were at Marie Callender's, and this waiter was so good, so kind, so mindful that I was trying to get something done. And many times you'll have a waiter and they're just, you know, they're interrupting what you're trying to do. You know what I mean? And this guy was awesome because he served everybody, but he was stealth. Very, very good. And I really appreciate it because we got a lot done. Everyone got served. He was mindful to make sure they had, you know what, water and whatever they had. He was just awesome. But there was enough of us that they just charged us. They tapped in. A lot of times if you have a certain amount of people, 12 people or more, they'll put the tip automatically. And I had a credit card, and so it was 15% automatically, and it was on the bill. So I went to pay the bill, and then I thought, you know, this guy was so good, I want to tip him a little more. And it wasn't a lot, it was just $20. But I slipped $20 in there, and after I did this, well, I don't know how long it was later, I thought, you know, somebody could have seen me with the tip. And they could have perceived that I tipped this guy $20. Now, how many know if I tipped him just $20, that would have been an awful tip? Are you catching this? And you're thinking, 15 and 15 and 15 and 15 plus you know what, plus their, you know, soda and you know what, and all that. And he, and here's it. Listen to me very carefully. Listen to me very carefully. And you saw it with your own eyes. Matter of fact, I even took that 20 and went like this. You saw there was just 120. And you walk away going, you know, I'll tell you what. See, listen, watch this. And Tamara and I were there to just bless the people and just give them a nice night out to just bless them. And you walk away going, what kind of Christian is that? Here's the thing. You saw it with your own eyes, didn't you? That's right. See, what I learned a long time ago, we think we know stuff. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, he told me this at the beginning of the year. You need to teach your people to stop judging. Because we make all these judgments on people, what their motive is. You know when we judge motives? Thank you. You know when we judge motives?
Never.
See, this ought to come right out of your lips. You know when we judge motives? Here, let me remind you. Here's when we judge motives. Never. Never. We just don't judge motives. We just don't ever judge motives. If you don't judge motives ever, you'll be in a good place. Amen. And you know what? Let God judge it. Amen. So you're walking away. Watch this. And let me tell you about that seed of discord. That seed of discord, next Sunday, you'll be here and I'll be speaking exactly what you need for your family. Exactly what that is, the word that you need. It's like the combination lock. It's exactly what you need. You're in position and you don't get none of it. You know why? Because you're thinking, what a cheap, bad example pastor is. You see, here, I wrote this down. Listen to me. I wrote this down. Satan will not tell you the truth. He is always pitting one against the other, listen to me, and leaving out details. And if you knew those details, you'd go, you would think completely different. But Satan won't tell you the details. Amen? Amen? And there's sometimes, as the pastor, I can't give you the details. Because to give you the details would expose somebody over here that I am too integrous to do that. Yeah, but pastor, they're going to think. I just have to trust and say, you know what? Listen, Connie has seen my character. How many years have you been here, Connie? For 14 years. And I've got to trust that Connie will believe what she's seen over, she wasn't there, but over what she experienced at that Marie Callender's with my $20 bill. I just got to trust her that she's going to see my, and know that, you know what, that I don't act like that. Right. And let me just tell you what, sometimes that's hard because it doesn't seem like it is. But see, Satan won't tell you those little details. He'll keep it out, and he's always pitting each other, us against each other. And particularly with leadership, because I'm just saying, because I'm so critical, this is going to sound pious, but I'm not, because I'm so critical to your spiritual development. I don't think you should say that. Okay, here, just put this in your purse and swing it. The Bible says that I am responsible. I will give account to your souls. I don't know what you do with that. But that is an incredible accountability. I'm just saying, there are people that God has placed. Jesus is the one who ordains pastors.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what he says.
Amen.
Amen. You know what? Well, I saw this and I saw that and they did this and they did that.
Oh,
be careful, because that seed of discord is going to come down and it's going to lock in your, it's going to plug in your, and the very thing that you need, you'll never be able to get it. You know, and you'll walk away all huffy. You know, I don't know that. And they're like this, and they're like that, and they're like this. And the whole time, it's like, are you kidding me? Have you not seen? You know what I mean? Do you not know? Some of you don't, you know, do you not know that I worked here for over 10 years and worked at Albertsons? Because that's all we could do. I could go on, but all I'm saying is, understand what Satan is trying to do, and Satan will do the same to you. And what you've got to do is just say, God, I don't, you know what? I'm not going to be distracted. I love what I heard one evangelist, and this evangelist, all kinds of people hate him. And I love what he said. I learned that he said, for everyone who hates me, I got 1,000 who loves me. Amen.
Yeah.
I don't got 1,000 yet, but I tell you what, I'm working on it. Amen.
Amen.
I'm working on it. Amen. Thank you, Peter.
Yeah.
All I say it like this. You know what? For everybody who hates me, I got 100 that love me.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. And it'll be 1,000.
Yeah.
And you know what the truth is? Tamara and I love you too. We think about you all the time. I'll end with this. You know what? Last year, the speaker, and you know, it's like, you know what? But he's just witnessing what he saw. And we're going to camp, and we were in the car with him for 6.5 hours. And you know what? One of the things he said when he came back is he said, you know what? I tripped out. First of all, I don't know any senior pastors that go to youth camp with the junior hires and high schoolers.
It's okay.
I'm not ripping on anybody else. I'm just telling you what he said. And then he said the whole time up there, all they're talking about is church and how we can minister more effectively to the people. See, but people will discredit you. And we've got to be aware of this discreditness. You know what I mean? That's not proper English, but this pull to discredit. You know what? The leaders. And we've got to be aware of the pull that we're going to be not be told. You know what? Yes, Satan will pit us against each other. And he will leave out important details that if we knew those details, we would act much differently.
Yes, amen.
Amen. And you've just got to come to a maturity to recognize, no, I'm not going to allow Satan to do that.
Right.
You know what? He comes with fear. He comes in fear. He's going to kill you. You know what? And God, you cannot be motivated by fear. So Nehem says, no, I'm just going to stay on target. I'm going to stay up here.
Amen.
Are we together?
Yep.
Have you learned something?
Yes.
See, Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for that we will not be distracted with all kinds of stuff. Thank you for your goodness, God. I pray tonight that we will not just sleep, but we'll have supernatural sleep. That we will just enjoy the presence of God tonight and think about what you've spoken to us tonight. Let it be not something that we just learned with our heads, but let us catch it with our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen, amen. Amen.